Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Tzadi He. We begin at the very top, Tzadi He Amud Aleph, by the brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ma Bein Pesach HaRishon L'Sheni. What is the difference between the Korban Pesach that is brought on what we call Pesach Rishon, that's brought on Yodalid in the afternoon of Nisan, versus the one that is brought on Yodalid in Iyar for those people that weren't able to bring a Pesach Rishon, and this is called Pesach Sheni. Ma Bein Pesach HaRishon L'Sheni. What are the halachic differences between these two korbanos? In some ways they're similar, in some ways they're not. So it tells us, HaRishon, also b'bayiro b'yimotze. When you bring the Korban Pesach in the right time during the month of Nisan, on your Dalet in the afternoon, and you eat it on Tezvav at night, so then you're not allowed to have any chametz in your house, there's the Isser of b'yiro b'yimotze. As opposed to, when you bring the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, HaSheni, chametz u'matzo ima b'bayis. There is no restriction in having chametz in your house. You can have matzo, of course, but you can even have chametz in your house, there is no problem. Likewise, HaRishon ton halel b'achiloso. We'll derive from Sukkim that when you eat the Korban Pesach at night, you say halel. When we have the Seder, we say halel. So they would eat the Korban Pesach and they would say halel. As opposed to the Pesach Sheni, if you bring the Korban Pesach on Iyar, Pesach Sheni, HaSheni eno ton halel b'achiloso. You don't have to say halel while you're eating it. As opposed to zev is that. Now the girsa that we have is ton, but the girsa on the side of some of the Gemaras tells us that it should be teunin, as well in the Mishnayis, and as well as in the Gemara itself, the girsa is going to be teunin, which is just from a dictuk point of view more correct. It's plural. Vezev is that, both the Pesach Rishon and the Pesach Sheni are teunin halel v'asiyosim. When you go and shech the carbon, there has to be said halel at that point in time, and again, we'll derive why this is so, as opposed to at night, when you're eating it, you don't go and say halel for Pesach Sheni, but by the bringing of the carbon, by the shechita of the carbon, you do say halel. Furthermore, the nechol and tzli, both of them are eaten roasted. You have to eat them tzli, and both of them are eaten al matzah or merorim. You eat them with matzah and maror, even though the Pesach Sheni, you're allowed to have chametz in your possession. There's no problem by your rabbi yamotze, but you eat it with matzah, and you eat it with maror. And the dochin is a Shabbos, and both of them, if it is Shabbos, your docha, all the halachas of Shabbos, you can do the shechita on Shabbos, do all the things that you need to do on Shabbos to bring this korban, both by the Pesach Rishon and the Pesach Sheni, and this will all be derived in the Gemara. Gemara starts off and quotes a Brayse. It says, Tana Rabbanon, Kikol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso. It says in the Pasuk that you have to go and do everything for the Pesach Sheni like you did for the Pesach Rishon. Kikol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso. The second Pesach, the Pesach Sheni, is done just like the first Pesach. Now, this tells us only the mitzvah shebegufo hakos medaber. This is only on things that are intrinsically part of the korban, as opposed to mitzvah sha'al gufo, something that is on the korban, as opposed to intrinsically part of the korban. For example, the eating of matzah and maror, that's intrinsically not part of the korban, but it is considered al gufo, so it's close, and therefore, how do we know that that also applies to Pesach Sheni? So the pasuk tells us, Tamalomer, amatzos sumerorim yochlu. It tells us that you have to eat matzah and maror with the Pesach Sheni. So it specifically tells us that, and that's why we know that you have to do it. So new, once we have that, yochal afilo mitzvah shelo al gufo. What about the other mitzvahs, like such as you're not allowed to have chametz? How do we know that those don't apply to a Pesach Sheni? Yochal afilo mitzvah shelo al gufo. I might have thought that they should apply to the Pesach Sheni as well. Everything that applies to the Pesach Rishon should apply to the Pesach Sheni as well. Talmud Lomar, it says v'etzim lo yishrubo. It gives us a prat. We'll see this drasha more as we go through the Gemara, but since it specifies certain things in the Pasuk tells us that lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, v'etzim lo yishbiru bo, so therefore it tells us certain pratim. It says you have to have matzos from rorim, you have to have lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, and etzim lo yishbiru bo, so it tells us these three pratim, so therefore it only is for these types of things that it are included in the Pesach Sheni, but not something that's totally unrelated to the Pesach, such as having chametz in your house. So, ma'ashvirus ha'etzem yuchod mitzvah shebegufo, since this is related to the Korban Pesach itself, so too, I've called mitzvah shebegufo, anything that's related to the Korban Pesach itself, either the mitzvah itself, or al gufo, closely related to it, but not itself intrinsically, as opposed to something that's totally unrelated to the Korban Pesach, such as having chametz in your possession. We'll see more examples of this as we go through the Gemara. Then this Braisa finishes with Isi ben Yehuda's opinion. Isi ben Yehuda says, no, the Pasuk tells us, Kikol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso. Yasu Oso means, b'mitzvah sheva gufo, it, things that are intrinsically it. That's what the pasuk is telling us, and you don't need all these pratim, these three pratim that you just said, amatzos umrorim yochlu, lo yashiru menu ad boker, and etzim lo yishru bo, those pratim he uses for something else. So these are the two opinions here, how we darshan out our Mishnah telling us that there's some things that the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are similar for, and other things that they're not. Now, we're going to go and dissect this brisa in pieces. So, Omamar, whenever we have the words Omamar, it means we're going to dissect part of the brisa. Gufa means we're going to repeat the whole brisa, or the whole statement. Omamar, so it said, Yochel at mitzvah shelo al gufa. We started off by saying, it says, Kichukas ha Pesach yasu oso, and that implies only mitzvah sheba gufa akos b'daber. And then it tells us, no, it's even talking about mitzvahs al gufo. So the Gemara says, why would you think so? Yochel at mitzvah shelo al gufo. Why would you think that? Ha'armis b'mitzvah shebegufo across the Dabba. We just said it's only talking about mitzvah shebegufo. Why would we have thought yochel at mitzvah shelo al gufo? So the Gemara answers, hachi kamar. This is how you have to understand this brisa. It's telling us over here in this brisa, hashta the armis, now that you're saying, al matzos umrorim yochlu, once you tell me that there are other things other than the mitzvos shebegufo, once you're telling me that there are mitzvos al gufo, we have the second category, things that aren't intrinsically part of the Karban Pesach, but are related to the Karban Pesach, so once you tell me that that's included as well, hashta the armis, al matzos umrorim yochlu, so then, almo, yasu oso, is lavdavko. You clearly see that it's not only referring to mitzvahs shebegufo. So once you're telling me it's also including mitzvahs al gufo, so then maybe ema havale kiprat uklal. This is really darshan that like a prat uklal. You start off over here with a prat, you're telling me mitzvahs al gufo, and then you're ending off with a klal. V'nasa klal mosif ala prat. And therefore, the last sentence that you're saying, yasu oso, is a total expansion. It's telling me it's not only the pratim, but it's a total mosif ala prat. Vafilu kol mili nami, and this would include not only mitzvah shebegufo, not only mitzvahs al gufo, but even mitzvahs that are totally unrelated, such as having chametz in your possession. Therefore, kamash malan, that's what it has to tell us, that these three pratim are each coming to tell me only something that is like the mitzvah itself, or at least al gufo, but not coming to include something that's totally unrelated. That's the way the Tanakhama learns it. But then along came Isi ben Yehuda, and he said, you learn it all out from Yasu Oso. And therefore, he doesn't need these three pratim. So the Gemara asks, so then what does he use these three pratim for? Now, Rashi and Tosafot are going to point out, we're not going to go through all three. For some reason, we're not going to tell us about Nosar. It's not included in our discussion in the Gemara, and they're both left with a Tzarech Ian. We're only going to discuss the two, Al Matzos Umrorim Yochlu and Etzem Lo Sishmerubo. So Yisi Ben Yehuda, Hai Etzem Lo Sishmerubo, my Ovid Le, what does he teach that for? If he doesn't need it to tell me that that applies to the Pesach Shein, so that's already included from Yasu also. So what do you need it for? So Mabayle, Isi ben Yehuda says, you need it to teach me Le'echod etzim sheyesh bo moach, Ve'echod etzim sheyem bo moach. This is the teacher's din. We had a discussion earlier that only marrow bones, you might have thought, are included in etzim lo sish merubo, because you want to get out the marrow. But a non-marrow bone maybe is not included in etzim lo sish merubo, or vice versa. So therefore, Kamash Vulan, it tells us again, etzim lo sish merubo, to teach me both marrow bones or bones that don't have marrow inside of them. They're both included in the din of Etzem Losishmerubo, both for Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara asks, however, the Rabbanon, they could have just learned this out from Chukas HaPesach. Kechukas HaPesach, why does it have to say Yasu Oso? Once it says Kechukas HaPesach, so then I would know, it's just like the first Pesach. What does it mean Yasu Oso? My Odile, what did the Rabbanon darshin out, the Chum Shita darshin out, the Tanakama darshin out from Yasu Oso? So the Gemara says, Miboy Alei, they need it. The Tanakhama needs it, Shein Shokhtin is a Pesach ala Yochid. That comes to teach us, Yasu Oso, that you should have at least two people on the Korban Pesach. The Kama de Evshar, as much as it's possible, Ladure Madrinum. We should try to have more people on it, a minimum of two people. You don't do it just shechting it for one person. As Rashi points out, you should try to go get Evshar Ladure Achar Tomei Chaveiro. Liham Nuso Imo. You should try to find somebody else that could be Tomei. And he says, Kagon, for example, a Tomei Echod Bisheretz. If you see that he's the only guy that's going to be bringing a Pesach Sheni, so go be Matame somebody with the Sheretz. This goes according to the opinion that if a person is Tomei Sheretz, he can't bring the Karban Pesach on Rishon, even though he'll go to the Mikvah and become Torah that night. Nevertheless, there's an opinion that says you can't do that, either Daraisa or Midrabanan. So go be Matame according to that person, somebody with the Sheretz, and this way he'll go and join this other person to bring a Pesach Sheni with at least two people. The Gemara continues, brings another brayso. Tana Rabbanon says in this brayso, "Kichol chukas haPesach yosu oso." What does that come to teach us? So the brayso says, "Yocho kishem sharishon also b'vayirah b'yimotzei kach sheni also b'vayirah b'yimotzei." Since it says "kikol chukas haPesach yosu oso," I might have thought that it applies 100% across the board. Everything that's also with the Pesach Rishon should be also with the Pesach Sheni. So too, if you're not allowed to have chametz in your house by Pesach Rishon, maybe this pasuk is coming to teach me that you can't have chametz in your house by Pesach Sheni as well. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, that's why it has to tell us as well, Amatzos Sumrorim Yochluhu. This comes to tell me that it's only things that are like Matzos Sumrorim Yochluhu, things that are intrinsically part of the Pesach, or things that are Al Gufo, that are associated with the Karban Pesach, they apply to Pesach Sheni, but not something that's totally unrelated to it, such as having Chametz around. So great, but this would only tell me the only elements, as I say, this would only tell me, for example, Amatzos Sumrorim Yochluhu, that you have to have the matzah and maror with it, a mitzvah saseh. But how about mitzvahs lo saseh? Mitzvahs lo saseh minayim, how do we know that? So that's why I said, Talmud Lomar, lo yashiru menu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave anything over. So therefore, if you leave something over, that applies both to Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Okay, great. So that tells me, Eli Ela mitzvahs lo saseh shenitach liaseh. You see, you can correct it because it's a mitzvah lo saseh shenitach liaseh, that you can go correct it by going and burning it the following morning. So that applies to both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. However, mitzvahs lo saseh gomor minayin, how do we know that an absolute prohibition against the lo saseh that's not corrected by an aseh, there's no corrective factor to it to make up for the fact that you did something wrong. How do we know that that applies as well to Pesach Sheni? That's why we need the next prat, Talmud Lomar, the Etzem Lo Yishmeru Bo. Here, there is no corrective action. You're just not allowed to do it. So this applies to both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So that's how we know from here, Maha Prat Mefurosh, Mitzvah Saseh, Velo Saseh, Shenitach Liaseh, Velo Saseh, Gomor. Just like that, all three of the categories are applicable by Pesach Rishon, they're all applicable by Pesach Sheni. The three categories, again, are Mitzvah Saseh, which we learned out, lo saseh shenitach liaseh was don't leave any over, and the lo saseh gomer is etzem lo sishmeru bo. So too, I've called mitzvah saseh, lo saseh shenitach liaseh, lo saseh gomer are applicable to the Pesach Sheni as well. So these three categories all include some things but exclude some things. So we're going to ask now what is included and what is excluded. So bichlole de matzos umrorim, in telling me that it includes things like matzos umoror for the Pesach Sheni, my komarbi, what else does it come to include if it's not just matzos umoror? So it comes to tell us tzliyesh, that just like the Pesach Rishon has to be tzliyesh, so too the Pesach Sheni has to be tzliyesh. But what does it come to exclude? Biprote mai mimayitle, by specifying this, what does it come to exclude? Hashbosas, or coming to exclude, having hashbosas, or getting rid of your chametz. There is no obligation to get rid of your chametz. Epochad Noah Limor says, but why not the other way around? Maybe it's coming to exclude sliyesh, and it's coming to include hashbosas se'or. So Gemara gives a teretz, we're going to give several times, mitzvah de gufe odet, because this is intrinsically part of the Korban Pesach, how you eat it, whether it's roasted or no or mevushal, as opposed to hashbos asor, has nothing to do with the Korban Pesach. So if you have to include one and exclude one, so it makes sense to include mitzvah de gufe odet. Then the next one was bichlole lo yashiru menu aboker, in the statement about the lavin itak liaseh. So we said it comes to include something and exclude something. My komar bilei, what does it come to include? So Gemara says lo totsi mimenu. It means that you're not allowed to take it out from one chabura and bring it to someplace else. So we delete the words in the parentheses. Well, the first ones are probably right. The domale, the high mifsal benosa, the high mifsal biyotze, because it's similar to the concept of nosa, and it's going out from beyond its place, and it can be corrected by burning it or by bringing it back inside to its place. So therefore, lo sosi mimenu is coming to be included. However, biprote maiko mimaitle, it wasn't coming to exclude lo yor ve lo yimotze. You don't have any prohibition of lo yor by lo yimotze by the Pesach Sheni. So that's what it's coming to include, lo totsi mimenu, you can't take it out, or it's coming to exclude the problem of bayiro bayimotze. Again, the Gemara says, Eifu chana, why not do it the other way around? It comes to include bayiro bayimotze and comes to exclude the yotze. So where it says, same teretz as before, mitzvah de gufi odet, because it's intrinsically, that's part of the Korban Pesach. It makes sense to include the idea of lo sotsi mimenu, and it comes to exclude something that's extrinsic to it, the chametz bayiro bayimotze. And the third one, bichlole de'atzim lo yishmeru bo, what is coming to be included in this klal of etzim lo yishmeru bo? My komar be, so it comes to include, al tochlu mimenu, no. You're not allowed to go and eat it uncooked, unroasted, no. So that's what it's coming to include there. And beprote may come maite. What is coming to exclude? Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. You're not allowed to have chametz when you're shechting it. So the Gemara says again, epochano, I would flip it around and say the other way around. It comes to exclude al tochlu mimenuno, and it comes to include lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. The Gemara says the same teretz again. Mitzvah de gufi odif. The one that's intrinsically part of this mitzvah makes sense to include it, and the part that's not, shechting it while you have chametz in possession, is excluded. Tosus asks the obvious question. We already excluded that. That was already excluded. The top Tosus says, Mikol chukas ha-pesach, mitzvah shein al gufo. So he says, no, you might have come to think that when the actual act of shechita is being done, then you can't have any chametz in your possession. But at other times you could, so therefore you need both. Finally, the top Tosus on the previous Amud, which we never did, but let's do it now quickly, tells us there are other differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. For example, Tosa says, Toni Nami Yorishon Nishcha Begimu Kitos, the first Korban Pesach, Pesach Rishon, is shechted in three groups, as we learned, and the Sheni, the second Pesach Sheni, is not Nishcha Begimu Kitos. And he says, furthermore, that the first Korban Pesach requires Bikur Dalad Yomim, which isn't required by the second Korban Pesach. You have to keep the first Korban Pesach for 4 days to check for blemishes. You don't have that requirement for the second Korban Pesach. The Tosefta gives another reason and says that the only mentioned are things that are applicable by Korban Pesach Rishon and not by Korban Pesach Sheni, as opposed to the Bikur, which is also present by the Korban Tumit, so therefore it's not mentioned at all. Gemara continues now. We're on Sadi Heyomid Beis by requoting the Mishnah Rishon Ton Hala Bachila. So we said that when you eat the Korban Pesach, Pesach Rishon, you have to say Hala, but when you're eating the Korban Pesach by Pesach Sheni, you don't require Hala. So how come? Minohani Mili, how do we know this? I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. Rav Yochanan said the name of Shimon ben Yotzadok. It's based upon a Pasuk that we have from Yeshaya. And it says over there, Omar Kroh, the Pasuk says, Hashir Yelochem Kilel His Kadesh Chog. That this song that you're singing, Rashi points out, Biyom Shetigalu Minagolus, on the day that you're getting out from Golus, like we got out from Mitzrayim, and Yitz Hashem, B'mher B'mein, we'll get out of this Golus, we're going to sing a Shira at night, Kilel His Kadesh Chog. And therefore, Laila HaMikudosh L'Chog, a night time which is designated as a Chag, Ton Halo, then you sing Halel. And Pesach Rishon is a Yontif, Rashi says, and therefore, you have an obligation to sing Shira at night. However, Laila She'ein Mikudosh L'Chog, but Pesach Sheni is not a Yontif, there's no Issa Mulacha, it's not a classical Yontif, so therefore Ein Ton Halel, it doesn't require Halel. So that's the distinction between saying Halel by Pesach Rishon and not saying Halel by Pesach Sheni when you're eating it. Mar says, but Zev Zeh Tu'unim, here you see the gear, so it's Tu'unim, Zev Zeh Tu'unim, Halel Basi Yosef V'chule. But when you actually shecht in the Korban Pesach, so then both by the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, you have to go and sing Halel. Mar says, how come? My taima. Don't we have this pasuk that just excluded the Pesach Sheni? So Gemara says no. Ibayisema Laila Komemayit Yom Lo Komemayit. The pasuk from Yeshaya said it was Kilel Is Kadesh Chag. So that only applies at nighttime when you're eating the Korban Pesach. So then there is a difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon is Yontif. Pesach Sheni is not Yontif. But during the daytime, the pasuk in Yeshaya doesn't exclude it, and both of them require Shira during the Shechita. That's teretz number one. Be by same. Alternatively, teretz number two, Efshe Yisro Shochtin Es Mischein, the Notlin Es Luvayin, they don't have Halal. It can't be that you don't say Halal while you're doing your Korban Pesach, while you're Shechting your Korban Pesach. Just like when you shake your Lulav and Esser, you take your Lulav and Esser, you say Halal, so too when you take the Korban Pesach, you're Shechting your Korban Pesach, it's impossible to believe that you wouldn't say Halal. Rashi says over here, this is just quoting the Braisa. And this Braisa, Agrora Nisva, the Braisa, the Perik Basra Sham. So the Lulav and Esra got mentioned over there, so it mentions them over here too. It's not critical for the Lulav and Esra. The critical thing is, it's impossible to imagine that you're Shechting Korban Pesach and not saying Halo. Then we quote the Mishnah, which said, but both of them, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, they both are eaten roasted. And here's the critical part. Again, I'm not sure why the Gemara sometimes says v'chule, when the chule is the critical part, because now we're talking about that the Docha Shabbos, both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Docha Shabbos. So we're going to darish it out now, the v'chule part. So it says Shabbos in Tumalo. So it tells us that Shabbos is Docha, but it implies that the Pesach Sheni is not pushed aside the Tumah. If you're Tumah and Pesach Sheni, you don't bring a Pesach Sheni. So therefore, Masnisin, the local Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, is not in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya, because we have a Braisa that tells us that the Tanakama holds like our Mishnah, that Doches HaShabbos Vein Doches HaTumah. The Tanakama, this Braisa, says like our Mishnah, that Shabbos is pushed aside for Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, but Tumah is not. And along comes Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer avdo chesed tumah. The Pesach Sheni will even push aside tumah. And if you're tamei, when Pesach Sheni comes around, you can still bring your carbon Pesach Sheni, even betumah. Where it says, so how come the Tanakhama doesn't hold like that? My time at the Tanakhama, what's the rationale for the Tanakhama saying it's not Docha Tumah, it's Docha Shabbos, but it's not Docha Tumah? So he says, Mibnei Tumah D'chisiv, Yahzor V'yasev B'tumah. He says, it boggles the mind. He says, why didn't we bring the Pesach Risha? Because it was Tameh. So if we didn't let you bring it when it was Pesach Risha, which is the right time, because you were Tameh, and the majority of Klai Sol obviously was not Tameh, so then you couldn't bring it because you were Tameh. We're going to let you bring it on Pesach Sheni if you're Tameh again? Doesn't make any sense. The reason we didn't let you bring Pesach Risha was because you're Tameh. So therefore, we're not going to let you bring a Pesach Sheni when you're Tameh again. That's the Tanakama's rationale. That's the author of our Mishnah's rationale. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to? Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, HaTorah chazru Allah v'asosu b'tara. The Torah wants you to do a b'tara. So we gave you a second chance. If you weren't able to do a b'tara on Pesach Rishon, so we'll say, good, you got a makeup, you have a do-over, and we'll give you a chance on Pesach Sheni. But bottom line is, if by Pesach Sheni, you're still not Torah, or you became Tameh again, lo zocha, you weren't zocha to do it b'tara. So then, yaseh b'tumah. Bottom line is, you have to bring a Pesach, and therefore, if you couldn't bring a b'tara, then you can bring a b'tumah. But we gave you a second chance. That's why we didn't make you bring a b'tumah on Pesach Rishon. Hopefully, by Pesach Sheni, you'll be Torah. But if for whatever the reason you're not, then you can go bring it, even b'tumah, by Pesach Sheni. That's the machlokis between the Tanakhama, who's also the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanah Rabbanan, we learned in a similar braisa, Pesach Rishon doches Shabbos. Pesach Rishon is doches Shabbos. Pesach Sheni doches Shabbos. Oh, that everybody agrees to. Then here it says Pesach Rishon doches Tumah and Pesach Sheni doches Tumah. That both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are doches Tumah. Now, obviously, it's talking here by Pesach Rishon that it's talking about the majority of the tzibur is tamei. That's why it's doche. Otherwise, if it's an individual, he's pushed off the Pesach Sheni. But even if an individual is tamei by Pesach Sheni, he pushes it aside, just like Rabbi Yehuda said, this braisa is in accord with Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see in a moment, though, a question on that. Then it tells us, Pesach Rishon Ton Lina, Pesach Sheni Ton Lina, that a person has to stay overnight in Yerushalayim after he brings his Pesach Rishon, and so too, if he brought the Pesach Sheni, he has to stay overnight in Yerushalayim, bring his Pesach Sheni. Rashi points out over here that Ton Lina, Laila HaRishon Yolim Yerushalayim. He has to stay over in Yerushalayim that night. Afterwards, we come Veilach Rashai Lador Chutz L'Chomer. Then he can leave afterwards and go outside the Chomer Yerushalayim. Now, if it's Yontif, he has to stay B'Socha Tchum. He can't go outside the Tchum. And that's what it means. You can go back to your Ohel. V'Hainu Lo Alecha. Lo Ohel Shechutz L'Chomer. V'Lo L'Beis HaMamish. But not to go to your actual house. Because Lo Yontifu. V'Ad D'Koboy L'Yisuyeh Olas Riyah. And also, you also have to bring an Olas Riyah. So therefore, that's why you can't leave. But the bottom line is that there is this concept of Lina, both for the Pesach Rishon and the Pesach Sheni. Now, who's the author of this braisa? Where says, Do chasatumo kiman k'Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, the author of this braisa has to be Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tanakhama that we have in the previous braisa, which is the author of our Mishnah, says it's not Do chasatumo. So obviously, this braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, but that's a problem, because Rabbi Yehuda told Lina, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to stay over the Pesach Sheni. He doesn't hold that. For Tanya, we have another braisa that tells us Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Minayin lePesach Sheni she'ain ton lina. He says you don't have to stay over in Yerushalayim when you bring your Pesach Sheni. You can go home right away afterwards. She'nema, because the pasuk says Ufanisa baboker yolach toli olecha. It says in regards to the Pesach Rishon that you have to go back to your house the next day. That's what we said. Olach toli olecha. You're not allowed to leave because of the tchum, so you only go back to where you're staying, but not back to your house. But then it says, Uksiv, it says right with that, Sheshes Yomim Tocha Matzos. This din applies, of Anisa Baboker, Alatu Lo Lecha, when you have 6 more days to eat matzah. So Anecha L'Shisha Tonlina, the carbon Pesach that it's associated with eating matzah for 6 days, really 7 days, it's an additional day, that carbon Pesach is a requirement for Lina. In other words, Pesach Rishon has a requirement for Lina. But this is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, She'enecha l'shisha ain't ton Lina. So clearly, in this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't require Lina. So we have a stira. In the Braisa, the first Braisa that we brought down, clearly it's Rabbi Yehuda, because he says, Pesach Sheni is doches Tumah. But then it's clearly not Rabbi Yehuda, because he says, Pesach Sheni ton Lina, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Pesach Sheni is not ton Lina. So the Braisa is internally contradictory. How can it be Rabbi Yehuda? Shmuel says, Trei Tanoi, Valiba the Rabbi Yehuda. These two braises are authored by two different opinions as to what Rabbi Yehuda said. The first braise holds, the Rabbi Yehuda holds Pesach Dochas Atumah and Pesach Sheni is Ton Lina. And the second braise holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Pesach Sheni is not Ton Lina. So we have two different opinions as to what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was. Next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that Pesach Sheba Betumah, when you're bringing a Pesach Betumah, in other words, if all of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, or the majority of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, and you're bringing the Pesach Betumah, now that Tumah that we talked about, we've mentioned already many times, is Tumah Smeis. But all other types of Tumah, bodily Tumah, like a Zav, etc., so they're not allowed to go bring a Pesach Betumah. Now, in a situation when the majority of Klai Yisrael is Tamei Tumas Meis, Rechmona Litzlan, the God of Lador passed away, the Nasi passed away, so everybody was Metamei by the Levaya. So now, you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach Betumah. But even in that situation, where the Pesach is brought Betumah of Tumas Meis, Lo Yochlu Mimenu, the people who have a bodily Tumah aren't allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Lo Yochlu Mimenu Zavin, Vizavos, Nidos, Violdos. Men and women who are Zav, discharge, or Nida, or a woman that gave birth, all of them aren't allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, even though they're also Tameh. And we're saying that Tameh Meis can eat from it, but that's only Tumas Meis, but not these bodily Tumah, these Tumah that comes from the body, as opposed to a Meis, which is external. So only Tumas Meis is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, but not the Zav, the Zava, the Nida, or the Yoledes. V'im Achlu, normally, if they were to eat, they would be chayiv kares. But in this situation, since we'll see darshan from psukim, since tamei meis is allowed to eat it, because the majority of chayisol is tamei meis, so then we don't apply the normal iser that tamei people are going to be chayiv kares for eating a korban. So in this situation, where you have tamei meis eating the korban pesach, so then the zav of the nida yoledes im achlu peturin mi kares, they don't get kares. Rabbi Lezer goes one step further. Rabbi Lezer says not only do they not get kares from eating the Korban Pesach, but if they go into the Azara, Rabbi Elezer, Poter, Afal, Bias, Mikdash, if they go inside the Azara, they're not even going to be Chayiv Kares. The Tanakhama says, okay, if they eat it, they're not Chayiv Kares, but if they go in the Azara, they'll be Chayiv Kares. And Rabbi Elezer goes even one step further, we'll darshan this out from Sukkim, he says that even if they go inside the Azara, they wouldn't be Chayiv Kares in this situation. When the Tamei Meis is allowed to go inside, so then even these people who can't eat from the Korban Pesach, but they're not going to be Chayiv Kares for eating the Korban Pesach, and according to Rabbi Elezer, even for going inside the Azara. Now, Tana Rabban and the Braisa starts off, Zavin, Vizavos, Nidos, Vyoldos, again, these four people that have bodily discharges that make them Tamei, Sha'achlu b'Pesach Sheba B'Tumah. If they eat a Korban Pesach where the majority of Klai Yisrael was Tamei Meis, and therefore the Korban Pesach was brought B'Tumah, but these people who eat it, the Zava, the Nida and the Yoledes, they're not allowed to eat from it, so I might have thought, Yochel Yuchayavim Kares. I would have said that they're Chayav Kares if they were to go and eat it. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells us, no. Only in a situation where called Tahor Yochel Basar, only when Tahorim are eating the Basar, then do we apply, V'nefesh Shetoch HaBasar, Mizevach HaShlom Mashal Hashem, Mitumasa Olav V'nichrusa. Only in that situation, when there are Tahorim eating the Basar, then we apply the Isser of, if a Tamei person eats the Karbanos, they'll be Chayav Kares. So nechal l'tahorim, we darshan it out, that when it's eaten by tahorim, then the isser of kari supplies to tamei people eating. Chayavim lov mishum tamei. However, v'she'enu nechal l'tahorim, in our situation, when the majority of Klai Yisrael was tamei meis, so tameim are eating it, so then ein tameim chayavim lov mishum tamei. That even those tameim that are not allowed to eat it, the nida yoledes, they're not going to be chayav kareis. The Brisa continues and says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, just like in our Mishnah, he takes it even one step further. He says, you might have thought, Yochel Dachak Hu Zavim V'Nichlus U'Le'Azara. Now, the Gears on the side says it's not only Dachak Hu Zavim, it says Dachak Hu Zavim U'Mitzorayim. If any of these people pushed their way into the Azara. Now, again, we said already previously, they're also under normal circumstances, the Chiyav of Kares, if they go inside the Azara. So Yochel, I might have thought, Dachaku, the Zavid and Mitzarayim, and Nichlusu li Azara, the Pesach, Haba, Betumah, Yochel Yuchayavim, that even on the Pesach that's brought Betumah, the majority of people are Tomei Tumah Smeis, and the Pesach is brought Betumah, I might have still thought that there's an Isser. The Tanakam, in fact, says that there is an Isser of Kares in this situation. But I might have thought that that should apply even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yochel Yuchayavim Kares, in that situation, so Rabbi Eliezer darshens as follows. Talmud Lomar, it says, V'yishalchu min amachane, they're not allowed to go inside the Azara, called Tzorua v'chozov, a Metzora or a Zav, v'chol tamei l'nefesh. All three of these categories can't go inside the Azara under normal circumstances. A tamei meis, and a Tzorua or a Zav. So therefore, based upon this hekish of the Pasuk, that they're all lumped together in the Pasuk, so Rabbi Eliezer darshens out. Bizman Shetmei Meisim, as well as the Zavim and the Mitzorayim, are not allowed to go inside the Azara. So Bizman Shetmei Meisim Mishtachin, then Zavim and Mitzorayim Mishtachin, and they're all Chayiv Kares if they go in there. But if you're dealing with the Korban Pesach that's brought Tumas HaMeis, the majority of Klai Yisrael is Tomei, and therefore it's allowed to be brought Tumas HaMeis, so then now this Hekish in the Pasuk falls apart. And therefore, We do not give kares to the Zov and the Zov and the Mitzora. Now, they're not allowed to go inside. But if they do go inside, they're not chayiv kares. Ain't Tumei Mesim Mishtachin. If the Tumei Mesim aren't Mishtachin, because the Korban Pesach was brought, majority of Klai Yisrael is Tumei Mes, so you're allowed to bring it, and they can go inside. So then, in this situation, while the Zov and the Mitzora is not allowed to go inside, Ain Zov and Mitzora, Mishtachin, they're not also going to be chayiv kares in this situation. Again, they shouldn't go inside, but they're not chayiv kares if they do. Now, by Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says the following shaila. Dochaku Tmei Mesim. If the Tmei Mesim went inside, not to the Azara, they're allowed to, in the situation where the majority of Klai Yisrael is Tmei Mes. So they're allowed to go in the Azara. But instead of just staying in the Azara, Dochaku Tmei Mesim, when they're allowed to go inside the Azara because the majority of Klai Yisrael is Tmei Mes, V'nichlesu Lehechal, and they went inside to the Hechal. The Hechal has a higher Kedusha than the Azara. And you certainly have no function of the Korban Pesach inside the Hechal. So there's no purpose in going inside the Hechal. So in this situation, since we removed the Yisra of them going in the Azara, do we or do we not say that we also remove the Yisra, Chiv Kares, for them to go inside the Hechel? Again, they're not allowed to go inside the Hechel. But if they went inside the Hechel, Dachaku, and they pushed inside, so what's the din? Do we say, when the Pesach is brought Betumah, the Pesach Abba Betumah, so they're allowed to go in the Azara, and they're not chayiv anything. They're a little chatchil, allowed to go in, but if they went inside the Hechel, do we say the chayiv Kares or not? Mahu, what's the halacha? That's the question that Rabbi Yosef asked. Do we say, here's the two sides of the coin, me de ishtre tumas azara, since they are allowed to go into the azara, l'chatchila, so therefore ishtre nami tumas hechel. Once they're allowed to go in, they're allowed to go in all the way, even to the hechel. Or do we say, no, odoma, my de ishtre, that which they need to go inside the azara is allowed, because they have to be in the azara for the Korban Pesach. However, my low history, there's no purpose in going inside the Hechel, therefore it's not allowed to go inside of the Hechel, low history. And if in fact they went inside the Hechel, there would be Chayiv Kares. So that's Rabbi Yosef's question. Amar Rava, Rava says, look at the Pasuk, Amar Kro. The Pasuk says, Vishalchu min ha-machane. We said that you send out from the machane called Tzorua v'chol Zor v'chol Tomei l'lefesh. So it says, Afilu mixas machane. You send them out even from part of the camp. In other words, min ha-machane is a miyot telling us even part of the camp. In other words, if they're not allowed to go in part of the camp, they're therefore not allowed to go inside the Hechel. They're allowed to go in part of the camp, but they're not allowed to go into the other part of the camp, and the Isser of Kares would still apply. That's the first teretz of Rava. Iga the Amre, others said no. Rava said the exact opposite. Amar Rava, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Vishalchum in a machane, el michutz la machane te shalchum. It means you have to send them outside the machane. What does it mean outside the machane? Kolhechon, the Korin Bay, El Michutz La Machane Tishachum, wherever it's that they have to be sent outside of there. Korin Bay, Vishachum in a Machane. Then we have the first part that says, you're sending him out for the Machane. But according to this understanding, the Ikud the Amre, there is no Chiyuv of Kares going into the Hechel, because the Pasuk doesn't apply in this situation, Vishachum in a Machane, to exclude the Hechel. Even in this situation, while they're not allowed to go inside the Hechel, there wouldn't be Chiyuv Kares. So the two answers of Rava are diametrically opposed to each other. One says yes, one says no. Rabbi Yosef asks another question. Bar Rabbi Yosef similarly says, "Dachu tmei meisim v'ochlu emure pesach habavetuma." If the tamei meis person is allowed to eat the boss of the Korban Pesach, that's allowed. But what about the emurim? The emurim are normally the sacrificial fats that are put onto the mizbeach. So they're never allowed to be eaten by anybody. In this situation, since the Korban Pesach bossa was allowed, what happens if the Tomei Meis were to go and eat these sacrificial fats? Now, the parts of the sacrificial fats that are chelev, so they're certainly not allowed to be eaten because they have nothing to do with Tumah. Chelev's never allowed to be eaten. So we're talking here about the parts of the sacrificial fats that aren't chelev. Some of the sacrificial fats are not chelev, and therefore they technically could be eaten, except for the fact that they're sacrificial fats, and sacrificial fats aren't allowed to be eaten by anybody, and certainly not allowed to be eaten by Tumah. So this is what Riosi's question. Those parts of the sacrificial fats that aren't chaylev, for achlu emure pesach habavetuma, and yet the tummy person ate them, so there's no isser of chaylev over here, but there's an isser of eating kachim betuma, and this isn't the Korban Pesach, which you're mechuyev to eat, the sacrificial fats you're not mechuyev to eat, so therefore this doesn't apply. So we turn to tzadi vavam alef mahu, what's the halach in this situation? Do we say midi ishtrei tumas basur, just like you're allowed to eat the tumas basur, so too ishtrei nami tumas emurit. So then, those sacrificial fats that are in chaylev are also permitted to be eaten. Or do we say midi ishtrei ishtrei, midi lo ishtrei, lo ishtrei? No, same thing like before. What you're allowed to eat, because betumah you're allowed to eat, if the majority of chaylev is tumas meis, you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach basur. But where do you see a right that you'd be allowed to go and eat something that's never permitted, such as the sacrificial fats? That's, again, Rav Yosef's question, similar to what he asked before. And Rava gives us the answer like he gave before as well. Rava says, I'm a Rava, Michti. Let's look at the situation. Tuma say Murin, where do we learn out that you're not allowed to eat the Murin? Mehechos Rabbi, how do we know that's not allowed to be eaten? So the Gemara says, Mitumas Basar. That's learned out from the Tumah of the Basar. Under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to eat Kachim to the Tameh. Tuxiv Asher Lashem. Now, we learn this out because it says that which belongs to Hashem. That comes to teach us not only the Basar, which belongs to the person, but Asher Lashem is L'Rabo Sosoe Murim. So therefore, we see the connection in the Pasuk between the Basar and the Emurim. Wherever you're not allowed to eat the Basar, so then you're not allowed to eat the Emurim, the Tumah. But Kol Hecha, the Isel Tumas Basar, Isel Tumas Emurim. When there is an Isser of eating the Tumah, Bitumah, so then there's an issur of eating the emurim bitumah. But kol hecha the lasei l'tumas basar. But when there is no issur of eating the tumah, a tamei person to eat the basar, when the tamei person is allowed to eat the basar, in that situation there is no issur involved in eating lasei l'tumas emurim. There is no issur in eating the emurim as well. Again, you're not allowed to, but the severity of the issur is not there. Finally, one last question by Rav Zeir. Rav Zeir asked the following shaila. Emurei Pesach Mitzrayim Hecho Akterinu. The Emurim of the Korban Pesach is supposed to be put up on the Mizbeach. In Mizrayim, we didn't have a Mizbeach. So what did they do with the Emurim in Mitzrayim? Did they burn them or did they eat them? That's Rav Zeir's real question. Emurei Pesach Mitzrayim Hecho Akterinu. Where did they go and sacrifice them? Was there a Mizbeach in Mitzrayim or did they eat it? So Amalei Abaye says, Uman Leimalon Dlo Shviske Avod. How do we know that they weren't eaten? Shviske, Rashi tells us, is basar tzoli bishpud, that they roasted it on a spit. So how do we know that they didn't go and roast it on a spit? And the Rabbeinu Chananel adds, what does it mean, kilomar, the shviske abdinu? He says, tzoli osam mine maichol v'ochlum. Why wouldn't they have eaten them? How do you know that they didn't eat them? That's what Abaye says to Reb Zeir. Why are you saying that they sacrificed it on a mizbeach? They didn't have a mizbeach. And I'll show you that this is right. He says, v'od hatana Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef said, it's as if kaviyachol that they put the blood on three mizbeachs, which was al hamashkov, which is on the lintel, and al shtei mezuzos on the two side doors, the side posts of the doors. So the top and the two sides, that was, so to say, where they applied the blood. That was the zrika. That was the blood applications of the Korban Pesach of Mitzrayim. But that's not really a mizbeach. He's just using this flowery language. But they didn't have a sacrificial altar. And therefore, v'su midiachrina lohava. There was nothing else there to go and burn the sacrificial fats. So why are you thinking that they burned the sacrificial fats in Mitzrayim? Mistama, those parts that they were allowed to eat because they weren't chaylev, there was no problem in them eating them. So emurei Pesach Mitzrayim, hechak terinu, doesn't get off the ground because they were treated like the basar and were eaten. With this, we conclude today's share.